go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 67 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. That's right, episode 67. We're getting awfully close to 69er, but that's two episodes away. Actually, three. 67, 6. Nope. Two episodes. Learn how to count, Brian. Learn how to count. I always tell people I'm a loser, that I don't do much in life. Although, I do a lot. Last night, I was at an open mic. Yes, 10 years plus into comedy, and I still do open mics. I'm a failure. We know that. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. Actually, nobody knows that, because hardly anyone's ever seen me do stand-up, because I am an unknown comic. Anyways, yeah, did an open mic, and after that, I was meandering around, taking some snapshots that I could use here on an episode of Verbal Graffiti. And as I was meandering around, I walked by the Owl Shop, which is a, how would I describe it? It's a cigar bar, so you're allowed to smoke inside. They sell cigars and alcohol there. I don't know where you live if they have any of those. They aren't too common where I live, but there is, yeah, this one, the Owl Shop. And it was a nice evening, probably mid-60s, early 70s. It was around 10 p.m., so I was walking by, and there were four guys that I was at the open mic with, a couple of which I know pretty well. So they were just drinking a beer, talking about what they, smoking a cig, talking about whatever the fuck. Actually, they were talking about skateboarding. I have no balance, so but I didn't know that. But they're like, hey, B-Man, what are you doing? Start talking to them about my camera, the Sony FX3, and hey, get a beer, sit down with us. And I was taking snapshots, but hey, I'm trying to be friendly, trying to do the hang thing. So sat down, we were chatting a little bit, and they were like, hey, I got open tab, do you want a beer? I was like, no, I'll go, I'll get myself one, don't pay for me. I was like, hey, anyone need another round? No. And I was very thankful no one else wanted another round, because I'm a cheapo. Anyways, go to the bar inside, order myself a Modelo, because that's what a couple of my boys were drinking, can. Weird that a nice cigar bar sells canned Modelo beer. Anyways, I'm there, I asked for Modelo, asked the bartender, politely asked me, do you have a tab? No, don't have a tab. Would you like to open one? No, thanks, I'll just pay in cash and tip you in cash so you don't have to pay taxes on it. He gave me a smile, goes, puts it in, reaches underneath, gets me Modelo. I gave him a 20, he hands me back $12. And there I had a pause, so I do the math in my head. That means the Modelo cost, one Modelo, 12 ounces, cost $8. Normally, I would tip two, you know, give the bartender $2 back. I was so aghast that a Modelo cost $12, even at a nice establishment like this. And this is Connecticut. This is not New York City or Chicago or LA, so, or Miami. So I gave him $1. Should have gave him $2. My bad. That's the B-Man's fault. I got to tip him more next time I'm there. We go outside. Sorry, I go back outside, and the conversation's happening, and they're talking about skateboarding, and someone had just bought a bow and arrow. Comics, we have weird conversations, and I couldn't enjoy myself, A, because everybody's smoking, and I don't smoke cigarettes. I'll take a puff of weed every once in a while if it's being passed around, just to be polite. I tried vaping last year. I'm just more of a boozer. I like that slow buzz come on more so than like I don't know when it's going to hit me. I started drinking as a teenager. B-Man, I'm a boozer. There was so much on my mind at that moment. Yes, it was nice outside. It was a lovely evening, or, you know, late summer, early fall evening. The best time to be outside boozing, smoking a cigarette, if that's your thing, or a vape pen. I despise outside dining, or in this case, outside drinking. Because here's what, it's not, we were on the street, right? You have the bar, the cigar bar, then you had a walkway, sidewalk, and beyond that, they had like that COVID makeshift outside seating, but really, we were on the street. And I don't, like, if I'm going to be paying $8 for a Modelo, I don't want to be on the street. I want to be inside the nice cigar bar. But I can't be inside, A, because my friends are outside, and that'd be weird if I was inside while they're outside. And B, like I said, I don't smoke. So if I'm in that environment where there's a lot of smoke, and in this establishment, you can smoke those cigars inside, I'd have a head fog, cold, phlegm in my mouth for the next 3 days. So I can't be inside. But we're outside on the street. And you know who drinks on the street? Hobos, homeless people, bums. Bums drink on the street. Bums eat their food on the street. Hobos eat their food and get drunk and do drugs on the street. So I'm paying $8 to play pretend hobo. The fact that these restaurants, these establishments have convinced people that their patrons that eating outside is an experience, more so than being inside the restaurant. You ain't fucking with the B-man. I know what you're doing. If I have the option, like if my friends were on the outside and I had a choice between inside and outside, I'm picking inside every time. Give me the air conditioning, give me the ambience, give me the music, give me the lighting, let me see the bartender making the drinks, let me see the staff walking back and forth, all, you know, the stress of the restaurant. I do not want to be outside on the street. At the outside, street dining, drinking, that's for the bums. That's for the people who can't afford to go inside. And that was the second thing that was on my mind that last night. Sorry, I'm not a smooth talker. There's a lot of pauses. I do a lot of thinking while I talk. I wish I was smooth with my vernacular and it just flowed off the tongue. Yeah, great. You know, I'm good at cunnilingus, but I'm not amazing. It's amazing how great I am at cunnilingus, even though I can't speak. You would think I flub all my words that I would just be a disaster down there, but I'm quite proficient, maybe even beyond proficient down there. It's not so much my skill. I enjoy being down there between a babe's legs. I just bury my face down there, give me a snorkel. I don't really care if you're enjoying it or not because I'm enjoying the experience. I enjoy the way you taste. I enjoy being at the epicenter of the babe. That was weird. All right, back to me being outside, drinking an $8 Modelo with the boys. Outside, but I was inside, but I was outside, but I had to pay inside prices for that Modelo. I'm sorry. Do $8 for a Modelo? The B-man, I can't go out drinking anymore. I can't afford it. Like back in the day, I could get a Bud Light for like $2.50, but $8 for a cheap, is Modelo? I know it's not domestic. It's technically Mexican, but I think they're related to Bud Light. So I'm calling Modelo a cheap domestic beer, which I like. The B-Man, my favorite beer is PBR. I like Milwaukee's best. I like a cheap, I'm not an IPA guy. I am a cheap man of the people beer drinker. Actually, I prefer whiskey and tequila, but I'll do beer. If I'm going to do beer, I'm doing cheap domestic, and I consider Modelo domestic. But $8, if you go out to a bar and a Modelo is $8, I can't drink out anymore. I'm sorry. It takes me at least six Modelos to get a good buzz going. So I either need to sneak in my own alcohol, sneak my own whiskey in, which I guess I have to do now. I'm bringing a flask of whiskey wherever I go because I can't afford to be drinking $8 Modelos, 12-ounce cans, and enjoy myself because that just burns too much of a hole in my pocket. The only option is I can't go out drinking anymore or I have to not eat I need to starve myself for 3 days before I go out drinking so I become a two-beer queer. Because it takes me 6 Modelos to get a good buzz on. And if I'm going to drink, I want to get a buzz. So 6 times 8, that's $64 just to get a buzz. That's if I only drink Modelo and I don't buy anybody else a drink and without giving a tip. And I'm going to tip. So you're talking at probably $80. For 6 Modelos, when you go out drinking, nah, the B-man, I can't go out drinking with those prices. With that math, it's not possible. Verbal Graffiti is not financially successful yet for me to justify paying $8 for 1 Modelo at a bar. I'm checked out. I'm the people's degenerate. I'm not going to tap out, but I'm going to have to bring my own whiskey with me and do that thing where, yeah, I'll have a Coke or ginger ale. Then like underneath the bar, I'm pouring in the whiskey that I brought from the outside or going to the bathroom and, you know, putting it in there. I've never judged anybody who's done that because I've done it in the past. And in this economy, I'm advocating for it. Tip your bartenders, tip them well, but don't be paying $8 for Modelo. Buy yourself a mixed drink and then, spice it up with your own libations that you bring in your back pocket. $8 from a dollar. That is fucking ridiculous. Jeez. How are people getting drunk? How are people enjoying themselves these days? How are you getting your good buzz? $8 a Modelo. That's stupid. America, we got to get better. We got to get better. All right. Moving along. Back to Reddit, that source I use for all of these things to talk about, found this subreddit, legal advice. I just had a fight. What now? ? I had a fight because it was my first day at school. The guy kept slapping my face and I got mad. I punched him on the face and he is now at the hospital getting his lip fixed. Quite the punch. I'm scared of police. He won't snitch on me because we are friends, but I'm scared if the police come to my house. It happened on a really busy area with a whole crowd. Thanks. You have nothing. Let me reiterate. You have nothing to worry about. You are now, without you even knowing it, you are the big man on campus. Nobody is going to cross you now because it's the first day of school. First day of school, your mom bought you a new pair of Wrangler jeans and a graphic t-shirt from Walmart. I've been there. You show up to school, your fresh new clothing. You knock out a guy. You give a kid a cleft palate before the lunch lady had a chance to hand out those instant mashed potatoes in the lunchroom. And the first day of school, you put a kid in dreamland in front of everybody. You're the big man on campus now. Nobody is going to even think about crossing you. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want in this school all year long, and nobody is going to say a word to you or even look at you sideways because everybody's scared of you. Without you even knowing it, you went into this school with the prison mentality of, hey, I'm going to start a fight before I even take my first shower just to let everybody know I'm not to be fucked with. You did that. And not only did you do it, you did it to a friend of yours. So everyone in the camp, everybody in your school grade thinks that you're just psychotic. You'll fight anybody. So yes, sir. Whether it's the principal, your teacher, administrator, another classmate, everyone, yes, sir. Your whole year, nobody's going to say no to you. Nobody's going to want to step to you. You're the big man at campus. Enjoy it. But the fact that this friend of yours that you gave a cleft palate to, he was trying to do to you what you did to him. I think you said you were in a busy area of school. So let's say like you're on open yard area or like you're by the lunch room where everyone's hanging out or in the hallway. And like he's slapping you. He's trying to look like a tough guy in front of everybody. And since you're friends, he didn't think you'd come back, hit him back. So he thought he could get away with it, that he would be seen as a big tough guy on campus. But you said, nah, you knocked him out and you became the big man on campus. So a little round of applause from the B-man to you for stepping up to your friend. Odd how guys do this, huh? Odd how guys will fight each other, risk everything, and then still be friends afterwards. French guys, we're awesome. To all the babes out there, I feel bad. You should have been us. You should have had that extra X chromosome, as I learned last week. XX chromosome equals men. But this is the thing is. You said your friend won't rat you out. So if he doesn't rat you out, you're Gucci, you're good. If he does rat you out, then you got to go Pulp Fiction in the back room of a pawn shop on his ass and really give him a beating. Because if he's your friend, he can't be ratting you out. And as we say here at Verbal Graffiti, we are not a rat. We are not rats here at Verbal Graffiti. We will lie for everybody under oath as long as it doesn't involve kids. Although this is kid-on-kid violence, so I think that's okay. I think you know what I mean when I say no kid violence and nothing, you know, sexual in nature. But anything other than that, we will lie to you. We will not rat out anybody to the police. What you don't even realize is you have... You're wearing Teflon now. See, what you are, you have nothing to worry about with the police because you're underage. I wish I knew this when I was underage. See, when you're underage, so the police really can't do anything to you. They could slap you on the wrist. They could tell your parents. But other than that, even if they did arrest you, you'd be on the street within a couple hours at most. Before the school, before the final bell, you'd be back on campus. You'd be back in biology class. I wish I was aware of this when I was underage. Because when I was underage, when I was your age, in school, middle school, high school, I was so worried about getting arrested. There was this time I was just starting to drink in high school. It might have been like my senior year of high school. I got off to a bit of a late start. But my friend, I won't say his last name, his name was Joe. It was snowing out. There was like a foot of snow. We had a 30-pack of Coors Light, and we were going to drink them. But Joe had the genius idea that he was going to bury each beer in the snow. Like, not the whole 30-pack. He took out each beer and hid them in his yard, buried each Coors Light in the snow in his front yard. So when we went to his house to drink, it was pitch black. He lived up in like the mountains area. So we had to dig through the snow to find the Coors Lights cans. And every time we found one, it had exploded because he literally buried it in the ice snow. So the cans exploded. But like, we were so paranoid about getting caught by the police that we were going to get arrested. But if I'd known now that the police can't do shit to teenagers, they literally cannot arrest you for anything other than, you know, murder. We would have just hid the 30-pack in his backyard somewhere together, and we would have had a good evening. And then there was another time, a couple times where we had these mountain parties where we had this keg, and we literally climbed on top of a mountain with the keg because we were so worried about having a keg party on the regular sea level, that we climbed a mountain with a 200-pound full keg of beer to have a party up there to avoid getting caught by the police or any type of authorities. But again, the police can't do anything to you if you're under 18 years of age. So all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, if you are under the age of 18, we're advocating just... be a fuck up. Break all the laws you want. You know, petty crimes, of course. We're not advocating you do anything with knives or, any deadly weapons. Just, hey, if you want to party, if you want to get in a fist fight with your friends in the schoolyard, have at it. The police can't do anything. They're the ones handcuffed, not you, not the troublemaker. If you're under 18, Teflon, police, nothing. And literally, I've talked about this before on Verbal Graffiti. Here in Connecticut, we have these boys called the Kia Boys. These teenagers who go around robbing car owners. If they own a Kia, they break in, they go for a joyride all over New Haven County, and the police can't do anything because they're underage. They get like a slap on the wrist, and they're out the next night stealing more Kias. If I knew I could do that when I was a teenager, if I was smart enough to know that the police would just go, hey, don't do that, and then let us free, I would have been drinking beer at school. I would have been breaking into the teachers' cars and driving them up and down the highway. And I would have been having so much more fun. It's so frustrating that I had responsible parents that raised me to be a good, upstanding citizen that has morals, that has a moral code, a moral compass. Oh, I wish I was more of a rascal back then. Yeah, so I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you got into a fight. I should have gotten in more fights when I was underage. The only thing you have to worry about in this situation is your parents. If you have some tough-nosed parents, old school, if the principal or the police, if they tell your parents, you might have to get, you might have to get the belt or a scornful talking to from your parents. And honestly, you want that. You want parents, maybe that don't physically abuse you, but that are hard on you. And I hope you, it will suck now if you get grounded or get, get whipped by the belt on the backside. But you want parents that are engaged. The what you don't want, now maybe like in this moment, you want disengaged parents that are just, oh, whatever. You got into a fight the first day, boys will be boys. Now you want some parents that lay down the law, because if they lay down the law now, you'll be a better person as an adult, and you won't have to deal with the police because your parents teach you well. But those disengaged parents are like, yeah, whatever, dude. You got into a fight first day before getting instant made potatoes from the lunch lady. Whatever, dude. It's just our son. Let him do what he wants. You're probably going to need legal advice going forward from those lawyers who read Reddit. So, but to you, I mean, for at least for this year, dude, you're a big man on campus. You can do whatever you want. You can fuck your Spanish teacher. You can vape in the hallway. You can be the bully that you were this first day and stuff the nerds in the lockers. Everybody's afraid of you. You're the lion. You're the lion. You are the shark. You are the alpha in those hallways. So walk them with pride, because you should have no fear. Everybody else fears you. You are the old brand. No fear. Let's go look at some photos. To all you degenerates who watch and listen to Verbal Graffiti, the time has come for us to become radicals. I am going to become a radical. I hope you become one with me. And the reason why we need to become radicals is because we are alive. We get one life that we know of. If we're lucky, we live 60, 70, 80 plus years. How many of those decades are we really in our prime, able to make a difference, raise some hay? I don't want to say hell, but raise some hay in this world, maybe four decades if we're lucky. And when you think about how long humans have been on this earth that we know about, a few decades is nothing. So while we're here, it's too short to be a moderate. The last thing I want to be called is a moderate. To me, that is an insult. I don't want any of you to be called a moderate either. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about everything. Whatever subjects being discussed, whether it's sports, philosophy, politics, education, environmentalism, vehicles, travels, vlogging, whatever it may be, take a stance on the far left or the far right and battle it hard. Don't give in. Don't try. Don't walk the fence. Be in the middle like the Pink Panther so that everybody will get along with you. No, make enemies. If you're not making enemies, you're not living life right. And so become a radical. I'll tell you something. I'm radicalizing my mind. Someone had brought up the point. I don't want to say who it is because I'm not sure if he wants to be associated with verbal graffiti. But he said that he quite frankly came and said, I don't remember anything I learned in high school. And when my friend said that, I started thinking that, yeah, I really don't remember any subject matter I was taught in high school other than a few English lessons and you know, the laws of writing and some history, some things, some dates and some events in history. Very little. I retained very little information from high school. So I think we should do away with high school. That's a radical take. That's how far radical I want us to go. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, well, should you have school choice? So we have public school. So we have voucher programs. So we have homeschooling. No, fuck all of it. Let's get rid of it all. Get rid of public education. Get rid of private school. Get rid of religious school. Let's get rid of high school in general. We have first grade through eighth grade, then 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Gone with the wind. Have no more. We should have what I'm proposing. As a newly discovered radical that I am, is you finish eighth grade, you go to work, whatever apprenticeship you want to do or that your parents want you to do or that, you know, you decide together as a group. Then each day that normally you'd be at school Monday through Friday, whatever, like 7 to 3 p.m., you're on YouTube 3 hours a day. Not doing the gossip shit. Whatever you want to watch that's educational, topics that you're interested in, you watch YouTube 3 hours a day. You get 1 hour of thinking, just getting your thoughts together, no technology. Then the rest of the day, you're either working, you're playing sports, you're doing whatever you want to do. Because it's been, studies have proven that we can only learn for 3 hours a day. So why are we in school for 6-7 plus hours a day? And then you got to go to, if you're playing sports, you got to go to your sports practice and you got to learn there. So no. We're getting rid of high school. No one remembers what they learned there anyway. So yeah, 3 hours YouTube. I've learned more from YouTube University than I have from any public school that I attended, any religious class I attended, any coach that taught me how to set a down screen and how to run a fucking, what type of offense, emotion offense. Always be, man, always with the sports analogy. Yeah, become a radical. We're radicalizing everything here. So boom, I just got rid of high school for everybody in the United States. Thank you very much. That is my platform. This next one's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy. Not going to lie, but I think it's the reason why I'm going to read it and discuss is because I think a lot of people are going through what this lady's going through right now. So let's hash it out and see what we can get to with her. All right. Comes from the subreddit, Regretful Parents. I can't do this anymore. I, 32-year-old female, have a 2-year-old. There is nothing wrong with her. She is a normal, healthy child that is developing, and from what I've heard, even easier than other kids. I only have her part-time since me and the other parent separated when she was only 6 months. Honestly, a big factor to why we separated was so that I could have some alone time, because I just couldn't do it anymore. I still feel like I just can't do this anymore and that it's not for me, even though I get every other week for myself. I need that time just to do nothing. The only thing I feel like doing is to drink wine. I don't have the energy to do anything else, and then my days with the kids start again. I just hate everything about it. Everything takes time. All the activities are so boring. I am so exhausted when I put her to bed I don't get up after she falls asleep. I just lay there and eventually fall asleep myself. Ever since she came, I just felt as if life is over. That's what I've heard in my head on repeat. My life is over. My life is over. My life is over. I just want to be alone. I don't want to be touched or have to look happy or talk to her. It feels horrible because I love her. It's just something wrong with me. I think maybe the whole experience of being with a child is triggering for me. I had a really bad childhood. I can't ask my grandparents for help, and I have nothing to give my daughter from my side of the family. I couldn't even hold on to the attempt of the new family with my ex. Now I am all alone. I feel more alone when I have my child than when I have child-free days. Every time it's my turn, I just feel sadness. Bottomless pit sadness. Yeah, you're screwed. There's really nothing else I can say. There's really nothing else anybody could say to you. You're fucked. I am cursing a lot this episode. I'm not going to apologize for that. But yeah, you're fucked. Your life is over. Once you push a baby out of your vagina and that baby cries and you hug it and your life is over, because your life is about your baby and it's soon to be, you know, grow into a whole person, fully developed person. Your life, you're living for your daughter. So in a sense, yeah, your life is over. The only solace I can give you is that you're not alone. I'm a 40-year-old. Most of my friends have children at this point. I attend many events, parties where kids are at the parties now. And I'm a weirdo. I like to observe. I don't talk much. I go out. I walk around. I meander. I watch. I observe. And I guess I look people in the face. Most people don't look back at me, but I look at them, and I can see it on their face. I say all this because you can take solace in the fact that you are, and I firmly believe this, that you are part of the silent majority. The only difference with you is that you have the gall, the balls, the pussy lips to say the loud part out loud. Or in this case, maybe not out loud, but you have the strength, the balls to type it anonymously on a post on Reddit. The more I think about it, parenting, being a parent, it's a lot like your career, your profession, what you do for a job. Someone once told me that any job, there's about 10 to 15% of people who are really good at their profession. They love what they do. Then there are about 70% who do the job proficiently. They're not great at it. They're not bad at it. They're there. They do the job, and that's it. And then there's another 15% who are terrible at their job, should be fired, don't want to be there. They're a disgrace to whatever company or entity they're working for. Same thing with parenting. The more I think about it, there are 10, 15% of parents who love nothing more than to be a parent, to be a mom, a dad, to be involved in their children's life, who just adore it, who are thankful every day that they're parents. There are probably another 70%-ish that they just do it because they have to do it. The child is in their life now, so they have to be a parent. They don't love it. Maybe they don't hate it as much as you do. But I do believe if you get a few drinks in them alone in a dive bar, they would admit that they wish they didn't have their child. And then there's another 50% that are in your category, the hate being parents, wish they could go back, think their life is over, just almost get to the point where you're almost bitter towards your child because your child, you think your child ruined your life. And in a sense, you're not wrong. So I'm not going to throw shade at you for that. There was a time I was in Nyack, New York, or as I like to refer to it as Nyack, New York. I was with this babe, Mary, this lovely lady I was seeing at the time, occasionally. She had an apartment right off of Main Street. It was early morning, maybe 7:30, 8 a.m. I drove to her place because we had to go pick up a van that she had bought. She was like one of those camper vanning type nature people ladies. So we were outside. She was smoking a cig. And Mary, she had had a child, a grown-up child, before I'd even met her. I don't have a child. So we were outside. She was smoking a cig, having a coffee. And then at the corner of the street, there was a couple with like a newly born baby with the carriage. And the baby was crying. And the mom was helping the baby. And I was looking at the dad. I was focused on his face, his body language. This guy, he had such a dejected look on his face. It was like a cloud over him. He dejected. His shoulders were slumping, like even more than mine are right now, normally are. He just had his energy to him that he was just depleted of energy and that he wanted nothing to do with this situation right now, with like the wife and the baby. And I turned to Mary, who is a mom. Like she grew up, she raised a daughter on her own. And I asked Mary, I go, hey, look at the father there. What do you see? And instantly Mary said, oh, he doesn't want to be a dad. He wants nothing to do with that. And you could just tell, you could see it on his face that he did not want to be a dad and that he regretted having this child. But like you said, there is no going back. And I go to all these parties, these kids' parties, and you could see it. That you could see it on parents' face. They don't have to say it like you did. You could just see it on their face that a lot of parents just don't like being parents and they're fucked. You really can't, technically, yeah, you could go drop off your toddler at the local firehouse, but you'll be shunned from society and you'll have to go the Lannister route, like shame, shame, shame. You can't go back to society after dropping off your 2-year-old at the firehouse. So yeah, you're fucked. You're totally fucked with this one. And, there is this whole talk. There's a lot of talk on the internet these days about depopulation. I think some of the stats are now that maybe 100 years from now that there'll be no South Koreans because there are so few South Koreans having children now that within 100 years, South Koreans will be extinct. And in America, we're going to collapse as a society because no one wants to have babies anymore. And there were all these like hypotheses and studies as to why Americans aren't having babies. Some people say because of inflation, the marriages, divorce, and people are focusing more on their career and gain more advanced degrees. So that's pushing having childs and family further down the road. And then you eventually don't have children. I think it's all bullshit. I have no proof. I have no studies of this. But the reason why Americans aren't having children anymore is because people have figured out that parenting isn't fun and that the juice ain't worth the squeeze that comes with having to squeeze a baby out of your vagina. Like parenting is not fun. It's not fun. Like you said, you'd rather drink boxed wine. It really, I know your parents will tell you, oh, that smile, there's nothing, the joy that fills me, there's nothing like it. And that may be true. And so many people say that I do believe that it's true, but that smile that your 2-year-old gives you, it's not worth the juice you get. That smile, that's all you get. Like everything else, that child is extracting from you, whether it's mentally, physically, financially. Like, that baby is always extracted. Even when your child is an adult, like, I'm still mooching off my parents, and I'm 40. Like they're, that 2-year-old is going to come to you as an adult, be like, hey, can I have $1,000? I'm late on my rent and my car payment and my insurance. And even that box wine you have, that only outlet you have, let's be honest, once your child's a teenager, she's probably going to steal that box wine from you as well. So even the one thing you love in life, she's stealing it from you. And that's why people get divorced, because of the child. Everybody will say, no, hon, it's not you. We got divorced because of us. No, you're the reason why we got divorced. We were very happy. We were in a loving relationship. Then I pushed you out of my vagina and you ruined everything. That's why you got to go from one house to the next week after week. Louis C.K. talks a lot about that in his earlier specials. Is there any bit of advice I can give you? Yeah, you're done. Your life is over. Enjoy that wine. Don't drink too much of it, because you don't want to be drunk as a parent. I guess maybe give the child up for adoption. I won't judge you for it. I don't. Do you want your child in foster care though? All those kids end up molested, right? Isn't that what happens in foster homes? So you don't want that for your daughter. Yeah, just suck it up. Hopefully, you know, when she gets in grade school, she'll find a friend and hang out at that friend's parents' house most of the time. So you can have most of your time alone with your box of red wine. And to all you parents, you know, actually, one more thing. My buddy Cheese and I, when we were kids or teenagers, we always joked that, like, all our friends who were like an only child, we do a joke, that if you're an only child, your parents don't like you because they didn't have any more children. So that's the reason why they didn't have more children, is because they hated their child. And now I've kind of convinced myself that if you have two children, you hate being a parent. That's how far I'll go. Like, you don't even want to have a third child? You must really, that you just had the second child so that your daughter or son will have a brother or sister. So you did it for the child, not for yourself. But yeah, so you need three children to prove to me that you enjoy being a parent, that you're part of that 10% that love being a parent. And me, I'm thankful that my parents were both in that 10%. But to you, yeah, keep drinking that wine. Hopefully it's not as expensive as the Modelo I had to pay at that cigar bar. At least you got some sex, right? Go suck a fat one.